Our gospel this morning is recorded in the 9th chapter of the gospel according to Luke. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. A little over a week ago, got together up at Cross Ranch with the boys, with the grandkids, with my parents. We celebrated our 40th anniversary. If you haven't been to Cross Ranch, you've probably been to another state park, and you know that the speed limits in the state park are not real fast. 5 miles an hour. Well, for reasons that are just too complicated to explain, Jan and I ended up driving separate vehicles up to Cross Ranch. When it was time for us to leave, we jumped in the same vehicle. Tyler, our youngest son, took the other vehicle, and he was going to head back a little bit later. We jump in our car. We start heading out of the park 5 miles an hour. And as you leave Cross Ranch, once you get off the park, you take a turn and you're headed south, 45 miles an hour. A couple of miles or so going that way, and then you turn west again, 50 miles an hour, several miles. And then once you get past that road, you get out on a county road, 55 miles an hour. A couple of miles down that county road, I said to Jan, "Do you have keys to get into the house?" She said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I don't. They're back on my keychain." So we turned around 55 miles an hour to the north, and then 50 miles an hour to the east, and then to the north again at 45 miles an hour, and then into the state park at 5 miles an hour. We get the keys, we turn around, we do it all over again. I got to tell you, this body is not made for going 5 miles an hour, 45 miles an hour, or 55 miles an hour. I am used to zipping down the interstate at 75 miles an hour with nothing slowing me down. I have no problem headed north out of Bismarck and going up toward Minot at 70 miles an hour. It keeps me very happy. It is no problem to be on a state road, two lane, 65 miles an hour. I'm very happy. But confine me to 5 miles an hour and it is a little unnerving. Do you think I followed the law? Actually, I did. Because I'm kind of one of those people. When the rules are there, I follow the rules. But here's the deal. The law doesn't give life. The law doesn't save us. The law is there for a good purpose. I mean, and Jesus said, "I didn't come to get rid of the law. I came to fulfill it." The only place that you and I find life is in the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus died and rose, wiping out all of the sins that we have committed, that we are committing, that we will commit. Now, don't get me wrong, the law has its place. The law at times lifts a mirror up to us and sees not who we think we are, but who we really are. Or it can be like the wagging finger of a parent saying, no, 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 no. Right? The law, the first commandment, you shall have no other God before me. Well, the truth is we often bend a knee to other things, whether it's possession or wealth or you fill in the blank of what your small g God might be. And sometimes a mirror needs to be held up to us. That's one way that the law works. But the law also confines us 5 miles an hour in a state park. Why? Because there's a lot of people walking around, because there are kids zipping in and out. So for the safety of others, we are confined. That 45-mile-an-hour road that kind of drove me crazy, driving down it 3 times within an hour? Well, it is that way because it's a windy road that is busted up, and it would be easy for me to lose control going much faster. And if it wasn't just me getting hurt, if there was another vehicle coming, there could be real tragedy. The law confines us. It holds a mirror to us. But as I said, it does not give life. Life comes only through the good news of Jesus. In the reading from Galatians, now Galatians, a short 6-chapter book, I invite you, if you've got a little bit of time today or over the next couple of days, to open up Galatians and just read through it. For Martin Luther, this was a book that he went to again and again. He loved Galatians because of the way that Paul argues for the freedom in Christ. So here's the deal. The Galatians are not Jewish people. They're Gentiles, just like you and I. They are outsiders to the faith. Paul has come to them at some point. He has gathered a community there. They have eaten up the gospel. They have loved it. They have become empowered by what Paul had to say about how Jesus lived and died for the sake of them. He ended up leaving them and leaving this fledgling church in place. Later on, some other Christians came, some Christians who believed that before you can truly be a Christian, you need to put on top of that being a faithful Jew. And so they began to teach the Galatians that you need to follow the Mosaic law. Oh, and by the way, guys, you need to be circumcised. Because that's the ancient marking all the way back to the Old Testament that you are truly a follower of God. Word gets back to Paul about what is happening in Galatia, and he loses his mind. He says, "For freedom, Christ has set you free. Do not let anyone make you captive to the law once again." Paul's really angry. He is fiery in this letter. We jumped a whole bunch of verses. If you look closely at the reading from today, Dean said selected passages. We jump from verse 1 to verse 13. In the in-between verses there, Paul is fiery. And in the earlier part of the book, Paul is fiery because he is so adamant that we not let something else bind us. Because he says, you know what? If you want to fall victim to one law, then you've got to follow them all. And the cross of Christ has lost its power. This is really, really important for Paul. For freedom, Christ has set you free, Paul says. So what's that look like in our world these 2,000 years later? I mean, obviously nothing like that happens anymore, right? No one is coming knocking on our doors trying to start to tell us that we have to follow all of the Mosaic law and reenact circumcision as a religious rite. Well, obviously not.
but we fall victim to the law in other ways. If anyone ever says to you in conversation, or you hear it on radio or TV, that to be a real Christian, you have to be in worship each and every Sunday, and as a matter of fact, you should be here on Wednesday night as well, or to be a real Christian, you need to be praying every day, and not only just every day, but at morning, noon, night, and then before you go to bed. And as a matter of fact, if you are going to be a real Christian, you need to open your Bible and you need to read it every day, at least for 10 minutes. And if you are not doing that, you are not a real follower of the risen Christ. Now, let me be really clear. Worship is really important. Prayer is really important. Reading Scripture is really important. But if anyone takes it and wraps it around your neck like a chain, forcing you to do these things, thinking that it will make you worthy before God, well, then worship, prayer, and Bible reading has lost its power. Because the gift of all three of these is grace and mercy. We worship as free people, able to come and thank a gracious God for the gifts that God has given us. This incredible freedom, this forgiveness from the sins that we commit, even sins we don't want to commit, we are set free. We pray because we want a closer relationship with God. We pray because we want one that we can confess to and tell our issues and problems and our concerns to. We read Scripture. Scripture says it's sweeter than honey. And we read Scripture to be shaped into the kind of people that Jesus created us to be. But if we turn it into musts and have-tos and law, we've lost our freedom. We've lost the joy of worship and prayer and Scripture reading. We lose the life, and it can begin to actually suck the life out of us. There's a story of a man who found himself to be very holy. He worshiped at least once a day, 7 days a week. He had to walk to worship 2 miles to get to the Grand Cathedral. He had no problem telling people of his holiness, and he had the ability to look at others kind of down his nose who weren't in worship quite as often as he was. He began to think about his own piety and holiness, and he wanted to keep track just how often did he worship. So each day that he walked to the cathedral, he began to pick up a stone. He'd put it in his pocket. He'd enter into worship. He'd come back home, and he had this little chest that had a hole on the top, and he'd drop the stone in the midst of this chest. After a couple of years of doing this, someone said to him, "Oh, brother, I see how holy you are. You're at worship at least once a day, every day a week. How many times have you been to worship in the last couple of years?" And he said, "Well, you know, I've been pondering that myself lately. I've been putting a rock every time I've worshipped in this little chest. Let's open it up. Let's pour out the rocks. Let's count them." And so he did. And 2 rocks fell out after 2 years of putting stones in that box. And he said, "Oh my goodness. There should be tens upon tens upon tens of rocks. What do you think has happened?" And the man said to him, "Well, maybe that's a mystical box. Maybe the rocks stay in there only from the times that you actually worshiped." Brothers and sisters in Christ, for freedom, Christ has set us free to worship, to pray, to read Scripture. Not only for ourselves, but to shape us into the kind of people who would then go out and serve our neighbors. For freedom, Christ has set us free, Paul says, so that we can go out and love and serve our neighbors. And the neighbor is everyone, absolutely everyone around us. Be free. Live into who God created you to be. Thanks be to God. Amen.